Ain't no telling where I'm finna be on. Hey, hey, I'm beyond all that fuck shit. Hey.
Hey, lil' mama, would you like to be my sunshine? Nigga, touch my game, we gon' turn this shit to Columbine. Ice on my neck, cost me 10 times 3. $30,000 for a nigga to get flea. I just hit Rodeo and I spent like 10 G's.
What's up, guys? Well, welcome to show number 76. As always, I want to thank you so much for rocking me these first 75 shows. By now, you know where to find me. If you go to SoundCloud, Stitcher, as well as iTunes, search for Trill Withers, the show will come up. Do me a favor, go ahead and subscribe there so that the show will come to you every week. Got the email address set up for any kind of questions, comments, concerns, testimonials, anything like that. That's trillwitherspodcast@gmail.com. I've also got the website. That's lookingupfromthefloor.wordpress.com. All right, first things first, I got to start talking about my man Hugh X. Like, Hugh Jackson, head coach of the Cleveland Browns, is up to something. And I'm reading now about this jug and a half he just pulled on the Eagles. And I'll read the details of the trade to you in its entirety. It says the Browns get the 2016 first round pick, number 8 overall, and the Eagles' third and fourth round picks in 2016. They also get the Eagles' 2017 first round pick and the Eagles' 2018 second rounder. So that's like the rare three draft jug. Like, they get him for 2016, 17, and 2018. In return, the Eagles get the Browns' 2016 first round pick this year, number 2 overall, and a conditional fourth round pick for next year. And I got to say, I love this for Hugh. I love this for the Browns, because I feel like three of the people, you know, that they could have, that would have been there at number 2, are no good for them, really. Like Wentz, Carson Wentz, Jared Goff, if neither quarterback moved them, I'm guessing that's why they traded down. So neither of those guys are probably good for them. They've got Joe Thomas at left tackle. So they don't really need Laremy Tunsil. You can never have too many great tackles. You know, Joe Thomas is not a, he's not a young man, but he's got several all-pro seasons still ahead of him, I'd imagine. So that's three guys right there they don't really need. So that's pushing more elite prospects down to number 8. You got guys like Jalen Ramsey, Miles Jack, Joey Bosa, DeForest Buckner, Vernon Hargreaves, Leonard Floyd, like whoever. The Browns need a lot of help. You're getting one of those guys for a team with a lot of needs. And more importantly, you get two shots next year at the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes. So if RG3, you know, if he works out, like, say RG3 stays healthy and he's cooking, like they've convinced themselves that, you know, he's the guy. You don't need Deshaun Watson. You still got two first rounders to build around the rest of your team with. And if RG3 stinks or can't stay healthy, you're in good shape. Like, you've got the Browns, who are going to stink next year. You've got the Eagles, who are probably going to stink next year. And you've got all those other picks you got from them. So I got to say, I love that trade. I love what he was doing up there. He is, you know, he's the head coach. He brought in Pep Hamilton, a black man, as his associate head coach. He's got Ray Horton, another black man, as his defensive coordinator. So he's got his black coaching staff. He's got his black quarterback redemption project in Robert Griffin III. And again, he just pulled this hell of a finesse on the Eagles, and I'm loving it. And I will say it right now in this very space. If Hugh Jackson and the Cleveland Browns get Deshaun Watson out of Clemson, next year, if they get him on board, I'm willing to forsake my beloved Denver Broncos for the Cleveland Browns. You know, you guys know how long I've been with the Broncos. I was there with Elway and Tiny Tom Jackson and Dan Reeves, all those old niggas, man. I've been along for the entire ride. But if they can get Deshaun X on board with Hugh X, I'm all in with the Cleveland Browns. All right, next thing, I got to talk briefly about this Harriet Tubman business. Like, as you may or may not have heard, Harriet Tubman is about to start going on the $20 bill in place of Andrew Jackson. And, I mean, of course, people are arguing about it. There are people a lot smarter than me arguing about it, you know, whether this is something that she would have wanted or something she would not have wanted, or if this is victory at all, what's the point? And I don't know. Again, I'm not going to jump in that. I will let them have that. But I do know that after years and years and years and decades and decades and decades of only seeing old white men on money, you know what I'm saying? Money, like something you see every day, every single day. And if you don't, you're thinking about how to get some to see every single day. So it's going to be a black face on there. And not only just a black face, a black woman at that. Like, that's something. That feels like something to me. And I already know I already know that my grandmother has a spot for like a framed $20 bill with Harriet Tubman's face on it. Like, you know how like you go in a business and they've got their first dollar frame? That's exactly how my grandmother's house is going to be with the first $20 bill she gets with Harriet Tubman's face on it. It's going to be somewhere, like, it's going to be next to the Obama family shrine in her house, right in front of all our baby pictures. So I'm not kidding. I can see this in my head right now, exactly where she's going to put it. And that's something. That feels like something to me. And I feel like it's like the Obamas, you know, a couple years ago. Is anything going to change in this country now that the Obamas are out of office? Probably not. That's the game. But there are little black boys, little black girls that only know a black family in the White House. Like, that's something. There's going to be kids that only know a black woman being on the $20 bill. That's something. Or at least it feels like something. I hope it's something. So I'm a fan. I'm looking forward to like going to spend money on something I know I shouldn't be buying and just looking down and just seeing Harriet just look at me in my eyes like my son, my child, please. And I just like, you're right, Harriet. You're right. And I tell the plug, thank you, but no thank you. And I put my crumpled Harriet Tubman $20 bills back to my wallet and I take my ass home. All right, next thing I want to talk about is the playoffs. The NBA playoffs first round is underway. I will be brief since they've already started and it's the first round. So it's like, who cares? Kind of feel like nothing has really went off course yet. Like, first you got Warriors, Rockets. I'm going with Warriors in five. And I say this just assuming that Steph misses some time. Like, if he misses game 3 and 4, which he probably should, if there's any kind of, you know, concern about that ankle, he should probably just sit out. The Rockets probably get one of those games. The Warriors get another one or get the other one and finish it in five. Now, I would have rather seen the Jazz here, but I do feel like the inevitable Dwight Howard, James Harden argument in like game 3 or 4 after Golden State goes on a crazy run, that'll be fun. But yeah, I'm hoping Steph misses time. Like 50% for the ankle and 50% because the Rockets fucking suck. Like, don't even waste your time. Next one, you got Spurs, Grizzlies. Again, I've got the Spurs in 4. It's another trash series. And the only thing I've really got here is like the Grizzlies were like real contenders for a couple years. Like a couple years ago, like it feels like watching them play is like seeing dinosaurs out there. Like you see Zach Randolph and he's a power forward and he doesn't shoot the three. He doesn't protect the rim. He doesn't do any of the things that you really think of, you know, a power forward would do in this game. And he's still just chugging along. Like, they have zero wing players that can consistently create their own shot. They don't have Marc Gasol. They don't have Mike Conley. And they're still chugging along. So the only thing I'll say is that if Dave Jorger? If Dave, the head coach of the Grizzlies, Dave, comes available. And there was talk of that, you know, earlier this year that he might be available. I'd be trying to hire him. Like, he made the playoffs in a division where 4 out of the 5 teams made it. And he has had, you know, just a shell of what that team was supposed to be. One thing I would like to see, like, I think the Grizzlies should be able to, like, trade spots. Like, if Memphis saw they were going to the playoffs without their two best players, I think they should be able to swap with, you know, the Jazz or the Kings or whoever, really, like, whoever wants to, you know, get into that playoff seed. Like, you just swap your draft seed. Like, as of right now, the Grizzlies are getting the 17th pick in the draft. The Jazz are projected to pick number 12. So if the Jazz are tired of adding, you know, lottery pick after lottery pick, you know, they want a playoff seeding, some playoff experience, they would just be able to swap with the Grizzlies. So maybe the Grizzlies get, you know, a portion of that playoff money or something, but they jump from 12 to 17, you know, so they have a playoff team. They can sell Mike Conley, you know, come back. We're going to be healthy. We're going to have a top 12 player. And, you know, the last couple of drafts, there's been some nice players at 12. So, like, in the last couple of years, Trey Lyles, Dario Saric for the Sixers, who's supposed to be good, we'll see, Steven Adams, you know, pieces, like, legit pieces. You can get pieces at 12. So, it would never happen. I'm aware it would never happen. I just think that'd be something nice to see because I don't think anybody wants to see these Grizzlies get their ass kicked like this. The Thunder Mavericks, I've got Thunder in 5. Game 2 aside, Dirk don't deserve this, man. Dirk don't deserve this. So, let this be a lesson to you. Don't you ever in your life give up money to a billionaire. I don't care if you're a millionaire. I don't care if you're a thousandaire. Don't you ever give up money to a billionaire. Make him work around you. And that's one thing I respect about Kobe. like Dirk meant well, you know, coming off a championship, I'm going to take a little less money. We're going to run it back or get some new pieces in here. And he gave up all that money. He's playing with Deron Williams and Zaza Pachulia and Raymond Felton. He could have took $20 million to play with those guys. Those guys stink. So, I don't know. Dirk deserves better. But after Durant's performance, I think he ended up going 7 for 33. I think there's a safe bet that Kevin Durant scores at least 45 points tonight. That's a conservative estimate. He's going to score at least 45 points tonight or whenever game 3 is. Next, you got Clippers Blazers. Got Clippers in 6. I've seen a lot of Blazers upset picks. I don't really see it. Like, the Clippers are good. They're not championship good or even third round good, but they're good. They're the last team to beat the Warriors and the Spurs in a 7-game series, and they know it. They know because a lot of those guys are, you know, it's the same team pretty much. The same big three. Some of those secondary pieces around them have changed, but it's irrelevant. Doc Rivers, Chris Paul, Blake Griffin, DeAndre are all still there. So I think they'll beat the Blazers in 6, maybe even 5. I just don't see it with Portland. Moving to the Eastern Conference, you got Cavs, Pistons. I'm tempted to say 4 here, but the Pistons did show some fight in game 1. I think Drummond might have like a, you know, like a 32-21 game and something stupid like that to steal a game. And something I've been watching, a lot of people don't know this. LeBron James hates Tobias Harris. Like, look this up. Ask any Magic fan or Cavalier fan. Like, it's something that we have known because we are the only people watching Magic Cavs games, you know, recently. Like, why the fuck would you? I don't even like to do this shit. But, like, Tobias, a couple years ago, Tobias was having a good game, like a good first half, and he talked some trash to LeBron. I think he told him to stop flopping. And since then, I haven't checked. I don't know if a Tobias Harris team has beat a LeBron James team since. Like, I'm dead sick. Like, watch when LeBron and Tobias are matched up one-on-one. Like, LeBron does not take plays off against Tobias Harris, and it's ridiculously petty, and it is hilarious. So watch for that. I don't think it's going to be much of a series. That gives you something to watch for. All right, we've got Raptors, Pacers. I'm going Raptors in 7. I do think they'll get it done, especially after they even the series. But I don't really want to hear anything about the Raptors ever again. Like, Lowry stinks for the playoffs. I feel like Terrence Ross and Valanciunas have been the same players for like 3 years. Like, they might win this series. They might even win the next one. And then they're going to get swept by Cleveland. So I don't really want to hear anything about them ever again. Heat, Hornets. I got the Heat in 5. Who cares? Not me. That's who. So moving on, Hawks, Celtics. Like, I was more than ready. Before this series started, I was more than ready to pick these Celtics in 6. And then Avery Bradley got hurt. So I switched it to Hawks in 6. And then last night happened. I went to that game. I was like watching that shit show live. And now I'm ready to pick Hawks in 3. Like, good God, the Celtics were fucking horrible last night. Like, Bradley being out, that's big, but like, goodness gracious, they shouldn't have been that terrible. So I figured this one would be a short stay too. I might go into some more detail for round 2. Hopefully it'll be better than round 1. But yeah, I'm not too stoked for the rest of the games in round 1. All right, next thing I want to talk about. There was a movie, I guess movie/documentary I recently watched on Netflix. Hannibal Takes on Edinburgh. And I would really recommend it. It's on Netflix. I think it's probably 80 minutes long. It's not a long watch at all. And if you like Hannibal Buress, you should watch it because it's Hannibal Buress. And if you don't or are not familiar with him, then I think you should watch it just because the entire process of it is interesting. And what it is, and it, I mean, it's not like a murder mystery, so I'm not exactly spoiling it here. There's a festival. There's a festival in Edinburgh, Scotland. I think he said he had never been. So you go there. You're there for an entire month majority of them. I think he was there for 28 days. And for all 28 days, you do a show. Every day he's doing a show. Sometimes multiple shows. There was one time where he had to, like, the first week he was there, I think he did 2 shows before like noon. And that's not even, you know, counting in the jet lag or however many hours ahead that they are. And he said he was going because it was something new. He had never did it before. He never did anything like that before. And it also gave him a chance to work on his comedy. And the reason this was so fascinating to me is, like, you see the entire process. So you get to see, like, it's some of his stand-up in there, too. So, again, if you like his stand-up, you should watch it because it shows plenty of that. But you get to see the entire process. So you get to see the beginning when he's learning the city and he's enjoying it. You get to see the lull in the middle, you know, where he just kind of wants to go home. But he's on, like, day 16. He's got, like, 2 weeks left. And you see him face, like, some hostile crowds. You see him, like, walk out on a gig. You see him try different shit to find inspiration to those last couple weeks, and it's really good. It's really good. He's got a very fuck it attitude, and I say that as a compliment because it's how you end up even trying something new like that. Like, I don't know how many of us right now would stop what we were doing to go overseas to a country we've never been to and do our job every single day, you know, for a month straight just because it's something new. And I feel like that fuck it attitude is how you end up doing it. Like, fuck it, why not? I'm gonna go to Edinburgh. And it's also how you end up, you know, getting booed off of the stage. You're like, fuck it, I'm not, what am I gonna try to fight back? These people clearly don't want me here. So it's a gift and a curse. But I found it inspirational just that, you know, he would just get up and do this out of nowhere just because it was something new. It is ICA approved, Rational Confidence April. If you're not familiar, we're being irrationally confident every single day in the month of April. Report back with your findings. But yes, this is ICA approved. Hannibal takes on Edinburgh. I would definitely recommend it on Netflix. All right, now to get into some questions. As always, thank you guys for the questions. First one is, if you could choose any topic to do your own episode of Drunk History to, what would it be? And I would say it would probably have to be sports. I don't really know history like that. It'd probably have to be some type of sports history or black history, but probably mostly sports history. I'd probably end up just telling the story of Shaq leaving Orlando. Like, it was told on the 30 for 30, this magic moment, which was excellent. But it'd basically be me telling it with like a bottle of bourbon and just yelling at the screen that you pay a 23-year-old Shaquille O'Neal whatever he wants. Whatever he wants. And so that would probably be my story. Like, as far as history, I'd probably say like Bobby Womack being filthy, Booker T versus W.B. Du Bois could be really good. Nat Turner's story would be really good. Chris Dorner, that'd probably be my vote, just me getting drunk and telling the Chris Dorner story, regular history wise. But yeah, I think drunk sports history should be a thing, and I would definitely be in for that. All right, next question is, what the fuck does grown and sexy actually mean? What do niggas wear when they're not allowed to wear sneakers because it's a no sneakers dress code? I've never been outside, and so I've never been to a club, and I would like to know. Well, grown and sexy, as well as any dress code, means no niggas. That's all it means. Dress code at all means no niggas. Grown and sexy means no niggas. No baggy jeans, no jerseys, no jewelry, no niggas. Is what they're saying without saying it. So just remember that any dress code you see means no niggas. And as far as the footwear, like, if you're going somewhere where you can't wear sneakers, one, reevaluate why you want to go there. But second, you got to wear like they were really popular a couple years ago. I don't know if they still wear them because I too do not go outdoors. But you got to wear like the old like Stacey Adams like sneaker shoes like old niggas wear. Like, and they got like the three stripes on the side, like the hard ass gum bottom. It look like niggas about to go race in the Indy 500 or some shit. Like, you know what I'm talking about? Like, I feel like you do. Like, I feel like people know these shoes I'm talking about. That's what you got to wear. That's what you got to wear. So if you got to put on a pair of those to get into an event, you should probably take your ass home. Like, I got a pair of loafers. Like, my niggas used to kill me about. Like, they're perfectly fine loafers from this man's point of view. But they look like, as I've been told, like African substitute teacher nigga shoes. And I can't argue with that because they do. And I bought them to wear, like, sometimes to work or to places where we couldn't wear sneakers. And then I figured out, like, I would just rather not go places where I can't wear sneakers. Like, why do you want to be somewhere that's not going to let you in as you are? I understand, you know, I understand dressing up and wanting to look nice and black tie events, all that. I get all that. But on, like, a Friday night, just a regular Friday night, you don't work hard all week, man, just to be told you got to, you know what I'm saying, tuck your shirt in and button up your shirt to the top button just to still be treated like a nigga. Like, I'm not with it. I'm not with it. So if it's a dress code now, I'm probably not going. If I got to wear like long pants, I'm probably not going. But yes, anytime you see dress code, just remember it means no niggas. All right, next question is, I was wondering, has anybody really ever dissected Netflix and chill? There was a national poll for what show or movie has been most commonly turned on as background noise for Netflix and chill. What show gets the most votes? It doesn't have to be Netflix. I won't discriminate against Hulu or HBO Go. Secondary, what's the most unique or weirdest Netflix and chill show or movie used? I know somewhere out there people have done the D while Human Centipede 2 was blasting. Anyway, I need a thinker of your level to open up a whole investigation. In summation, what shows and movies are y'all fucking to? I feel like Paid in Full has got to be up there. Like, Paid in Full is just always kind of lingering on the Netflix homepage. Like, everybody's seen it. Is anybody going to Netflix, like, specifically saying, I got to watch Paid in Full? Everybody's seen it 100 times. And it's good enough to watch. Like, it's not too long. It's like an hour and a half. It's like 90 minutes. So, you know, 25 minutes into a 90-minute movie, you know, you can get to getting. And you can still catch the last hour of the film. I feel like that's a perfect Netflix and chill movie. That's excellent cinema there. Now, the weirdest one that I have ever encountered is a movie called The Pill. And again, this is me speaking from personal experience. So it's a movie about a guy and a girl that hook up, and the guy finds out that the girl is not on birth control. And so he's trying to convince her to take the morning after pill. She doesn't want to. So this is easily the worst movie to watch before you try to have adult relations, you know, with someone for the first time. Easily. It was not my choice. I had never heard of the movie, but 10 minutes in, like, I sniffed it out like a bad play action. I was like, oh no. Oh dear God, no. So, like, the only worse thing I would say than that, I'd be like watching like those old slideshows you used to see in health class, like all the STDs on them. So, like, as far as like weird or unique, that's got to be up there. I would not wish that on anybody. Next question is, I'm not sure if you're aware, but recent reports have stated that Zayn, former One Direction fame, has been trying as of late to push for a trade to the black delegation. He left a good stable job to hang out with his friends, put out a solid R&B album, and has recently been featured alongside Chris Brown and Usher on a song about putting some pussy on his tongue. Should we push that trade through? I feel like we could grab him and Bieber, who's long tried to make the transition to young light-skinned black man, for like Reggie Miller. I don't like him and don't want him, and a future second rounder. What are your thoughts? I would say nah. No dice. I have no idea who Zayn is, but we're good over here. Like, damn sure nah, if it come with Justin Bieber, because fuck Justin Bieber. So Zayn, whoever he is, yeah, he could stay where he is. I've heard he's in One Direction. I don't know a single song by One Direction. I don't know who Zayn. Like, the only Lil Zayn I can think of is Sorry Baby You Ain't Getting None Tonight, Lil Zayn. That's the only Zayn we acknowledge. So, nah. Zayn can stay where he is. Bieber can stay where he is. And, like, the answer to any questions about trades to the black delegation is no. As long as I got a vote, no. No, not for Reggie Miller. Not for Stacey Dash. Not for Designer. Not for Raven Simone. Not for anybody, really. But let me say something about Designer. Let me say this, and I say this in all seriousness. I don't think Designer's all the way there mentally. Like, if you watch his mannerisms, if you've seen him like interact in interviews, like the weird stuff at his shows, like him just throwing up in the middle of a set and just like still dabbing through the vomit. Like, if you saw him pick up a buddy on stage who was clearly, you know, handicapped, like picked him up on his shoulder while he's still rapping Panda. I don't think he's all the way there. And it started, like, the more I see it, it's starting to feel like he's being exploited. Like Ice JJ Fish or the boy who said he was delivered. Like, it makes me uncomfortable. I feel like these people are not mentally all the way there and are being exploited. And I'm no doctor or anything. I have no basis for this, so please don't hit me with something. Well, he actually he doesn't show the sign. I don't care. But something just seems off. So I hereby renounce fuck Designer. I can't get down with that no more. I still don't play that shit around me. I still don't want to hear the Panda shit. But I don't know, something just seems off there, so I can't get down with saying fuck Designer no more. But back to the question, nah. If this trade's coming across my desk, it's vetoed. The next one, that's vetoed too. Zayn can stay where he at. Bieber can stay where he's at. So, nah. Right, next question is, what three NBA players would you most like to hang out with? I feel like J.R. Smith is the easy choice here. Easy. Like, he is famous enough to get recognized. He is willing to use that to his advantage. And, like, nothing he does would be a shock, you know what I'm saying, to anybody. So you could really enjoy yourself. Like, even J.R. drinking a Henny, like, the night before the playoff game. Or whatever, going out with Rihanna, whichever that was, like the night before the playoff game. It was a story for a little bit, but it was kind of like, eh, it's just JR. So, like, you could enjoy yourself. Like, you go out with, you know, somebody that's, like, too famous. I don't know if you could really enjoy yourself the way you want to. So, JR's number one. Number two, Zach Randolph. Zach Randolph just seems like a random ass person that would have like just adventures lined up. Like you probably end up at like the seediest pool hall in Memphis, eat some of the best barbecue you ever had in your life, drinking some whiskey, somebody mixed up in a bathtub, and like smoking some shit that would have you on like cloud 56. So Zach Randolph is up there. Draymond's up there. Like, not only is he one of my favorite players, he is fastly becoming one of my favorite people. Like, from the Warriors parade last year, he's clearly not afraid to be drunk on camera. He just got the check. Like, first, just really, really got the check. You know, he was making, you know, second round money. Now he's making real money. And he doesn't seem like he would be shy about spending it. So those are my three: J.R. Smith, Zach Randolph, Draymond Green. But I do have to say, my honorable mention, Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bryant, and not because he's cool, he's clearly not cool, but just like, and kind of piggybacking off the J.R. Smith thing, like nothing J.R. did would surprise anybody. It wouldn't really be news. But for Kobe, I would just like to see that level of fame for a day where like anything he does is news. Anything. Like if Kobe went to a club tonight and was just rapping March Madness or rapping anything, any song that came on, it'd be on somebody's phone. It'd be on TMZ. It would be news. That level of fame I would not ever want. I would like to experience it temporarily. So Kobe's honorable mention to hang out with like once. But the top three: JR, Zach Randolph, Draymond. Right, next question is, who are three rappers who would be cool to hang out with and three rappers who would be lame to hang out with? First one that would be cool to hang out with, Future. I feel like we've got a lot in common, you know, as Atlanta rappers who have dated Ciara. We both reached new levels of success in the past year and a half, 2 years. And we each use our addiction as fuel. So Future is number one. Wiz Khalifa probably number two. And not even just some weed shit. Like he's just legitimately seems like a person that enjoys life. Like he could just do whatever and enjoy it. And third would be 2 Chainz. 2 Chainz is one of my favorite people ever. Like he's a smart guy, talented guy, funny person. And he is not afraid to get white people together. So I feel like 2 Chainz and I would get along great. So those are my three that I would be cool to hang out with: Future, Wiz Khalifa, 2 Chainz. The three that would be lame to hang out with, I gotta say J. Cole. Now, he seems like a nice enough guy, but nah, I'm good. I'm good there. Young Thug. And again, not because he's lame, but because I'd probably be fearing for my life. Like that, he living a wild life, man. I don't need that. It'd be lame to have your neck on the swivel, you know what I'm saying, just waiting to be shot because Young Thug is living a wild life. And the third, kind of random, but like Ab Soul. Like Ab Soul just kind of seems like he would, well, actually you a lot, and he probably use like a lot of big words unnecessarily. So I don't know. Again, I don't have any basis for that. He just seems like that type. So the three I would not like to hang out with very much: J. Cole, Young Thug, and Ab Soul. All right, next question. Not so much a question. Somebody just asked, please talk about this next time on the podcast, a subject I think about daily. And the subject is, okay, like while watching the Jackie Robinson documentary, the 2-part documentary by Ken Burns last week, which was very good. Excellent. If you haven't seen it, I would definitely recommend watching it. But we were talking about how, like just back in the day, guys would just miss games. Like I was like, Ted Williams did not play. Like his shift at the steel mill ran long. Like guys really just miss games like that, or like players in their prime. Ted Williams himself would just quit to go fight a war. Like Ted, like one of the best hitters, one of the best baseball players of all time, certainly of his era. You know, like, and I just think about that, like how that would just go over now. Like if we just went into war right now, and LeBron James just got drafted to go to war, Adrian Peterson just got drafted to go to war, and they were just like, yeah, okay. They would just leave, and like he'd rush for 1,500 yards and miss 2 years because he's literally fighting in war. And he'd come back and rush for like 1,400 yards and 13 touchdowns. And that was just a regular thing. Like guys missing time due to their jobs, like Roy Campanella, who they talked about in the Jackie Robinson documentary. Roy Campanella was paralyzed in a car wreck. He was leaving a liquor store he worked at during the offseason and during the regular season. Roy Campanella. And this is not Roy Campanella, you know what I'm saying, the 50th man on the roster. He's just trying to make ends meet. This is Roy Campanella fresh off of 8 consecutive All-Star game appearances. This is Roy Campanella who won 3 MVPs in a World Series. And he's working at a liquor store. Now, it was a liquor store he owned, to be fair. But damn, like why are you closing up, Roy Campanella? You're Roy Campanella. And so he left, got in a bad car wreck, and was paralyzed, I believe, from like the waist down for the rest of his life. Like just lost most of a Hall of Fame career. I believe he still made it and probably should have. But yeah, it was just like a nigga just have to like a game going to extra innings. And Satchel Paige got to leave because he got, you know what I'm saying, he got heavy boxes to lift in the morning. He got milk to deliver in the morning. Like it's inning 15. And he's got a no-hitter going. He's like, Skip, I got to get out of here, man. Like, this mail not going to deliver itself in the morning. Like, they really just worked jobs and also played professional baseball. That shit's, it's just insane to me. I'll never, ever wrap my head around that. All right, and the last question for this week is it dirty macking if you like a girl that has a boyfriend and you both want to hang out with each other? I would say, from what I'm being told there, no. I would say no. The dirty macking comes in if you start, you know, planting seeds in her head about her boyfriend. Like, if y'all just talking, like, if y'all co-workers or classmates or whatever, y'all just know each other. And y'all just talking and you start, well, damn, are you still dating Kevin? Oh, that's, wow. That's crazy, man. I just saw him holding hands with Roxanne down at the movie theater. I don't know why anybody's name would be Roxanne. You know, 2016, but I seen him. He was holding hands with it. That's crazy. But yeah, you know what I'm saying? As long as you cool with him treating you like that, I know I would never treat you like that, but nobody wants a good guy like me. Like, if you're doing that type of shit, then yeah, that's dirty macking. But yeah, if she got a boyfriend and y'all want to hang out and it's just organic or whatever, nah, I wouldn't call that dirty macking. You know, you still gotta beware. This nigga Kevin still might have had a chopper on him. So you always got to beware, but I wouldn't call that dirty macking. Now, as far as dirty macking, Chef and I mentioned it on the show we did a couple weeks ago. We had put out a poll. We'd sent out a dirty macking survey to some volunteers. We were going to put it together for a blog, and we're still trying to figure out the best way to get this out to you. Because there was one, we got one response from somebody that was... It was just so much better than anything we could have imagined. Like, we were each going to write a little piece, throw in the survey answers, everything. And this answer, or this particular response that we got, just made it all obsolete. So we're going to figure out a way to get that to you. We may just run her answer in its entirety. It's that good. So I mentioned that because if you've got any questions about dirty macking, that will clear it up perfectly. So stay tuned for that. All right. And with that said, that brings show number 76 to a conclusion. As always, guys, I want to thank you so much for rocking with me these first 76 shows. By now, you know where to find me. If you go to SoundCloud, Stitcher, as well as iTunes, search for Trill Withers, the show will come up. Do me a favor, go ahead and subscribe there so that the show will come to you each week. Also, got two things to say real quick, then we'll wrap it up. First one is still ICA, still Rational Confidence April. You know, keep that confidence high. Let me know, you know, send me an email, trillwitherspodcast@gmail.com, or hit me up on Twitter. Let me know how it's working out for you. I've gotten some great success stories. So if I get enough, I might run a best of to close out the month next week. So send me your ICA stories at the end of the month, this upcoming week. That's number one. Number two, Black Quarterback X shirts. Again, as I mentioned, I've not forgot about you. I had the design the way I wanted to work with my man GDB. He got those looking perfect. And of course, as you know, nothing ever works out the way you want it to. I had found a place that was going to supply them good material. I felt I could get it to you at a good price. And the campaign was suspended. They took it down. They would not tell me why they took it down. I'm guessing because it had, you know, the last names on the back. Y'all saw the designs. So made a minor tweak. I took those off. Have resubmitted it. Still waiting to hear back. You know, because again, I didn't get any type of warning. It was just kind of a, you can't do this. Well, what's wrong with it? I don't know. You just can't do it. So, again, things don't work out the way you want it. And I'm like the worst kind of perfectionist ever. Like, I worked hard. Well, he worked hard. I worked hard letting him know how I'd like it to look, and he perfected it. But I'm the kind of perfectionist, like, okay, we did it one time. It didn't work. Fuck it. So I'm trying to go against that, make a minor tweak and see if we can get that approved. So I would like to get those shirts to you or out there available for purchase soon and very soon. So again, I haven't forgot about you. You know, save a little bit of that tax refund money for a Black Quarterback X shirt or two. If this campaign goes well, I'd like to have those available for purchase very soon. So again, guys, got the email address, truewithuspodcast@gmail.com. You can send me anything you'd like there. Got the website, lookingupfromthefloor.wordpress.com. Again, lookingupfromthefloor.wordpress.com. And as always, thanks so much for the support. Stay righteous.